Hi, you're listening to the Sermon Podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the DC area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening.
How do you leverage your life for the sake of the gospel? Luke chapter 19, if you're there, say I'm there. All right, we're going to go through it. Again, I'm going to kind of breeze through a lot of this because I wanted us to take time hearing those testimonies today, so this is just sort of an introduction. But Luke chapter 19, did I tell you guys what verse? Oh, you guys are so kind to not yell at me. Let's start in verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Now, if you're there, say I'm there. All right. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And as they heard these things, now we'll stop right there. What are these things? Well, as they heard Jesus' sermon. What was Jesus' sermon? Verse 10. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came to seek and save the lost. So as they heard that, Jesus proceeded to tell a parable. Because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. Now, I want to set this up because what Luke is doing is giving us incredible context for what we're about to read today. Jesus is days away from his crucifixion. This is the beginning of Holy Week. Jesus is headed into Jerusalem because this is where he's going to be put on trial and crucified. And so we are just days away. His disciples are feeling that. Now, when I say disciples, don't just think of the 12. Because Jesus actually had many disciples, and many people followed Jesus, but the 12 kind of stayed closest to him. Now, in this, there's tons of people, disciples, and Jesus has just told them, I've come to seek and to save people who are lost. And so he looks at the confusion on their faces, because here's what they thought. They thought, wait a minute, he just said, he's come to seek and to save the lost. That sounds like something a king would say. And then they look ahead and they go, wait a minute, Jerusalem's right there. We're headed to Jerusalem. This is like where it's all going to go down. This is what's going to happen. And then they got to looking at each other and going, oh my goodness, we're a part of the revolution. Like this is where it all happens. This is what we've been reading about for thousands of years in Scripture. This is where Jesus is going to set up his kingdom, and I'm going to be the vice president. Like, I'm going to be right there in with him, like, doing this thing. And Jesus starts to hear murmurs, starts to see some of this happening. And so Jesus looks at them, and he says, there's some things we need to talk about, right? So he's going to share a parable with them. A parable is just a story. Someone is not happy right now. And it's not just my preaching, is it? No, that's that. By the way, that's not our church. Like, we're okay. or maybe they are hearing my preaching, and that's what's in this parable, Jesus is telling a story with a point. And so this story is not actually a true story. But it's a story Jesus is telling with a point. But check this out. It's actually a story based on a true story. So the thing is about Jesus' parables is he always shared the parables that had something to do with what they were doing. So when he talks about like, I'm the vine and you're the branch, they're probably hanging out in a garden. Like he's using things that they can see, touch, experience, and understand. Well, when he shares this parable, he's actually playing on, and I don't have time today to get into all of it, but he's sharing a parable about a historical context, about a real king that was in Jerusalem that had a very similar story to this. But Jesus is using this to show them, I'm not talking about a political king. I'm talking about a spiritual king. And Jesus is going to share that story with them. So in this story, I want you guys to notice these three characters in the story, okay? And you can write these down and we'll come back to them. But you're going to see three types of people in this story. Number one, you're going to see the faithful. Number two, you're going to see the fake or the false. And number three, you're going to see the foes. Now, I did take two-thirds of this from Pastor John MacArthur, who uses those three F's. I'm not much of an alliteration type of person. So if you're like, wow, that's really good. I took it from someone. But from John MacArthur. But what he says, I changed the word number two to fake, because I think that will help us understand. These are the three types of people we're going to see: the faithful, the fake, and the foes. All right, let's keep reading verse 12. He said, therefore, now Jesus is going to tell the story, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. Now, here's what you got to understand. In this story, the nobleman comes and he gathers his servants. 10 servants, really just that word, that number 10, don't get hung up on that, because Jesus is only going to talk about three of them. But the number 10 probably just meant it's like a complete number. So it's really his way of saying Jesus just called the nobleman called the complete number of his people, his servants. And this is what he says. He says, I'm going to go. I want to claim this land as my kingdom. I want to be the king. So I've got to go to the emperor and ask permission to be the king. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to rule over this place as a kingdom. So that's what the nobleman is hoping to do, okay? And that's actually how the political system worked in the Roman Empire at the time. So this is what's going to happen. Now listen, the word servant there, your version may say the word slave. This is not the same context as we think about slavery in a North American context. Usually they would just use this word. It just meant employee, okay? It just meant like this is someone who is working, getting paid to work, and things like that. So this is, he calls together his servants and he says, I'm going to go away and I'm going to give you, he gives him 10 minas. And says, engage in business until I come. A minas was a form of currency, and it was really the equivalent of about 3 months of wages. So not a whole lot, but a little bit, significant, right? So in this story, let's make sure we got all of our people straight. The nobleman is going to represent Jesus, okay? In this story, the nobleman represents Jesus. The servants, and I think I've got this on the screen, the servants represent followers of Jesus. The minas represents the resources that God has given to us. And the business we're told to engage in is the Great Commission, the business of making disciples. Okay? So that's going to help us as we listen to the rest of this story. I wanted you to understand. The nobleman is Jesus. The servants are the followers of Jesus. The minas are the resources God has given to us. And the business Jesus is talking about is making disciples. Okay? Everybody good? All right, let's keep going. Verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. So right out the gate, remember I told you there were three groups of people, right? Remember? There were the faithful, they were the fake, and anybody remember the third? Foes, the foes, exactly. Well, Jesus jumps out the gate and says, let's talk about the foes first. Remember, foes like an enemy. And so there's a whole group of people that are just his enemy. We don't want you to reign. We don't want you to be the king. We reject you. We don't want you. So in this story, there are a group of foes. But do you notice how Jesus refers to them as his citizens? Isn't that beautiful? That even his foes, Jesus says, you are still mine. I still love you. You are still my citizens. And that means two things. Number one, it means that Jesus loves all people. Even people who are opposed to Jesus, Jesus loves them. And number two, it tells us that Jesus is Lord of everyone, whether they invite him to be or not. Jesus is Lord of everyone, whether we invite him to be or not. Doesn't matter if we believe in him, he owns us. He doesn't need our approval. We don't invite him to be the Lord of our life. He is the Lord over all creation. All right, let's check out verse 15. All right, so when the nobleman returns, who does the nobleman represent? Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. When he returned, having received the kingdom, That means he's been made the king. He ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. So this is his way of saying, all right, I told you guys to go make disciples. I gave you 3 months' wages. I gave you all the resources you would need to go and make disciples. So now the king has returned. Is this starting to feel familiar to you? Like, now the king has returned and he wants an account. So he's got all of his servants, all of his followers together, and he says, now I want to know, how did you make disciples? How did you leverage all the resources I gave you to do the one thing I told you to do? Well, let's look at verse 16. The first came before him saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in very little. You shall have authority over 10 cities. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That'd be awesome. Like, man, I would love to be in charge of 10 cities. That'd be horrible, actually. But it sounds fun. Here's what we see. The first servant, the first follower of Jesus, multiplied disciples. He or she used the resources that God gave them, the 3 months' wages, and used those resources to multiply and make more disciples. And Jesus' response is, well done. This is wonderful. In fact, this is so wonderful. I, as the king, am going to like make you a king. So now you're going to be like in charge of these 10 cities over here. But man, I want you to pay attention to how this servant comes to Jesus. This follower of Jesus comes and says, your money has made 10 more. Do you see that? He doesn't say the money you gave me. He doesn't say my money. He says your money. See, guys, worship starts with a mindset. Worship starts with a mindset that everything belongs to Jesus. That everything you have is His. Hey, the good and the bad. The anxiety you have, the fear you have, that belongs to Jesus. He's Lord over that. The money you have, the house you have, the apartment you've been given, the car that you drive, that belongs to Jesus. You're not offering it to Him. You're just giving it back to Him. Now, if He doesn't ask for your house back, then the question becomes, how did you use your house? How did you leverage your house to make disciples? That's the question that Jesus is looking for. And when we say leverage our lives, this is what we're talking about. And so Jesus does this, right? He takes something so small and he multiplies it. He takes 3 months of wages and turns it into 30 months of wages. Like, this is what Jesus does. And you may say, Brandon, I don't have a whole lot to leverage. And I would say, it doesn't matter. You don't have to have a lot. Like, because God can do anything with just a little bit. That's what He's in the business of doing. But here's what I noticed, that some of us, and I don't just mean us in this church, but as followers of Jesus, especially in our North American context, man, we want the reward of the servant without having the faithfulness of the servant. Because remember, the first type of person in this story is the faithful. See, he was faithful to leverage what Jesus gave him to make disciples. So we want things, right? We want to take the gospel to the nations, but I don't think I can tithe. We want to be seen as a leader, but we haven't really been able to disciple anybody in the last couple of years. We want to be seen as super spiritual, but we haven't even shared the gospel in the last 12 months. Like, the fact is, a lot of us want the reward of multiplication, but we're not giving the faithfulness required for multiplication. So the question is, would we be found faithful in leveraging what God has given to us? All right, let's move on to verse 18. Now the second one comes, the second servant, and said, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, you are to be over 5 cities. Oh, isn't that great? That's fantastic. He gets rewarded too. Now, don't play a game, because in our capitalistic society, we play a game and we say, well, good for him, but that's not 10. You know, so he must have been just a little less faithful than the other guy. That's not the point Jesus is trying to make. Jesus is trying to make that we can't compare ourselves to each other. That some people are gonna do certain things, and you're gonna start a group, and there's gonna be 1,000 people that come. And some of us are gonna start a group, and there's only 10 people gonna come. But that doesn't make the faithfulness unequal. See, guys, in the church world, we play too much of a comparison game. And you may look even at our church and go, yeah, but that church doesn't have, you know, that's only a church of 100 people. They don't have 1,000 people. So this church with 1,000 people, God must be blessing it more. That's not the way Jesus works, okay? You may look at someone else and say, they're getting blessed more than I'm getting blessed. So they must, God must love them more. They must have unlocked a secret in their relationship with God. That's not the way Jesus works. I've got 3 kids. I can't treat them all equally. And you know what? It's not even healthy for me to do that. They are different ages. They have different personalities. They have different likes. If I go home to my littlest daughter, who is watching online right now, hey, if I go home to her and I say, I want to reward you and I've got a stuffed unicorn for you, I just won Dad of the Year over all of you. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm getting the t-shirt and everything. Like, I'm Dad of the Year. If I go to my 9-year-old son and say, son, I'm so proud of you, here's a stuffed unicorn, it's not going to go as well. It's going to become the dog's unicorn, like, really quick. And so, church, like, I want you to hear, like, Jesus is telling you, don't play the comparison game, okay? The second servant comes. He was faithful with what God gave him. He leveraged his gifts. He leveraged his abilities. He leveraged his passions. And he got 5, and he got 5 cities. That doesn't make him less than the servant who got 10. So we don't play the comparison game. All right, let's keep going. In verse 20, then another came and said, Lord, here's your mina, which I kept and laid away in a handkerchief. Now, here's what you got to understand. You only really put trash or unvaluable things in a handkerchief, okay? The Pharisees often did this to, like, cover something up that they didn't need. So this is not starting off very well. Verse 21 says, because I was afraid of you. You're a severe man. You take what you didn't deposit. You reap what you didn't sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. This is what Jesus is talking to the servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. Maybe Jesus is a capitalist. I don't know. All right, verse 20. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Verse 24. And Jesus said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10. And they said to him, Lord, he's already got 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Well, that took a turn. That took a turn. This is where Jesus is talking to us about false followers, fake followers. These are people who hung out in the kingdom. They were clearly someone that was around Jesus because Jesus entrusted them with part of the wages. So they didn't just come out of nowhere, okay? But they were associated with Jesus. But when the time came to be faithful, they didn't gamble it away. They didn't steal it away. They just did nothing with it. And Jesus calls them fake. Church, I want you to listen to me. This is very important. The reason we're doing a series over the next few weeks to talk about leveraging our lives is because we don't want to be fake servants of Jesus. We don't want to be fake followers of Jesus. Indifference is fakeness. To sit around and know that, man, Jesus has given me a campus with thousands of people to reach every week and not have any conversation about Jesus, that's not leveraging our lives. To realize that we've got a job and coworkers that we have never had conversations with about Jesus. Like, that's not leveraging our lives. And even if we say, yeah, but I'm not doing anything bad, I'm just holding on to it. Jesus says you're like a hypocrite. Because you say that the good news has changed your life, but nobody can tell. If the resurrection is true, that changes everything. And that's what Jesus says. And so then Jesus decides he's got to deal with his enemies. And he does. And this is the third, right? The foes. So we've got the faithful servant who leveraged what Jesus gave him to make disciples. We have the fake servants who took what Jesus had to offer, but they did not leverage any of it for the sake of the gospel. And then we have the foes, the people who just wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And the lesson that we get from that is that there is, when you die, everyone spends eternity in one of two places. We either spend it in eternity in the presence of God in heaven, or separated from God in a place called hell. And this is what Jesus is showing the reality. It's like, you can be a foe. Jesus is still the Lord, and he still has control and power even over our eternity. So the question for us is, worship team, you guys can go ahead and come back up. Where do we find ourselves today? Are we being faithful? Are we being fake? Or are we a foe? If you're being faithful, I want to encourage you to continue leveraging that and to help the rest of us learn how to leverage our lives for the gospel. If you sense any fakeness in your life today, I want to give you a word of comfort. You're not alone. I know that's a strong word, fake, but I just didn't know any other way to like get it across, you know? Because let's be honest, following Jesus is hard. And following Jesus is too hard just to fake it and make it. If it's going to be hard, let's at least get the reward. And the reward is like intimacy with Jesus. So I just want to encourage you, if you're like, Brandon, I do have some fakeness in me today. I've been hiding the things God has given me, and I haven't been serving others. I have not been sharing the gospel. I've not been even reading my word. Like, I'm just not leveraging. I would say I've got really good news for you today. The same Jesus that is teaching this is the same Jesus in a few days that's going to lay his life down on the cross. And he is going to leverage his life to save yours. And the first thing we do when we need to leverage our life is not to get up and start doing stuff. The first thing we do is fall in love with Jesus. Because love is the only thing that sustains our doing. And I want to encourage us, if you're finding some fakeness in your life today, don't just get up and start doing stuff. Take a minute, repent of that. Ask God to forgive you, and guess what? He is faithful and just, and he is going to forgive you of all of your sin, and he is going to give you a new opportunity and a new chance to leverage your life for his kingdom. And man, I can't wait to see how many cities or how many groups of people or how many disciples are made as a result of decisions that are made in this room here today. So I want to encourage you as we respond to the Lord that to leverage our lives for the kingdom and for the Lord really means these few things. Number one, that we're taking ownership of our faith. That we are taking a look at our faith and what we're doing, and we're not just depending on a church service once a week to get us through, but we're owning it and following Jesus. To leverage our lives means we take risks for the gospel. The two servants that were faithful, they had to take some risk, right? Gosh, I hope I don't mess this up. Notice Jesus wasn't, he didn't care about the money. So then Jesus got the treasurer and they started counting the money, and Jesus did the math and pulled out a spreadsheet and said, you deserve this. Jesus was just concerned about their heart and their faithfulness. Leveraging our lives means you are faithful with what God has given you. It's a mindset, guys. Everything I have is because God gave it to me. I didn't earn it. Leveraging our lives means living generously. Leveraging our lives means making yourself available for the Lord to use. That's your time. And ultimately, leveraging our lives for the Lord means we are making disciples and we are letting others disciple us. So I want to encourage you today, before we respond to the Lord, I just want to ask you this question. See, just like Jesus' followers, all of us find ourselves in one of those three groups of people, the faithful, the fake, the faux. I just want to encourage you today. I'll work my way backwards. If you would say, I'm a faux, Brandon, in fact, hearing this doesn't even make me like, I like the loving, warm, lovey-dovey Jesus. Like, this Jesus, that was hard. And I would say, yeah, but how wonderful to cut through all of the fluff and get straight to the heart of Jesus. And I would encourage you today, Jesus loves you. Jesus is the Lord of your life. And here's what I believe with every fiber of my being, is that life with Jesus is better than life without him. And I'll take it to my grave. I believe it. And I want to encourage you today that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that you would draw near to him. He has already done the work that it takes to know God. He's asking you to believe, to take a step of risk, and to leverage your life to believe in him. Maybe you find yourself as a little fakeness today again. Maybe we would take some time today to repent of that and to ask Jesus, how can I pick the handkerchief up, take the things you've given me, and begin to leverage them for your kingdom. And guys, that's a process. If you find yourself being faithful today, why don't you praise God for that? And why don't you ask God, hey God, am I being a good steward over the cities you've given? Am I being a good steward over the mission field that you've put me in? Over the church you've placed me in? So we're going to take a second and pray, and then we'll respond to the Lord. Let's pray together. I'm just going to give you a second to pray to yourself. Heavenly Father, we just beg your presence in our lives today. We ask that you would prepare our hearts, God. Because, God, we want to live for something more than this world. We want to live for something that is eternal. And the only thing that is going to outlast everything else in this world is your kingdom. That's it. So, Jesus, help us not to live for anything else in this world. Help us live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to do our response time a little different today. And that you may see, we don't have communion set up on each side of the room. We're going to take communion together as a church family today. And so I'm going to read a little bit of scripture, and we're going to pass out the elements to you. But here's what I would ask. During this time, if you are a follower of Jesus, I ask that you would participate in this time of communion with us. That you would take it, the elements, and pray and consider and spend some time with Jesus. Okay? All I ask is if you're here today and you're not quite ready to make that decision yet, or maybe you are, but you just got some sin you're not ready to repent of yet, Jesus says we should take this act so seriously that we might not take it, so that we're not, again, giving off a fake persona. But again, if you're a follower of Jesus, man, let's get our hearts right. Even if you just got your heart right in the last 30 seconds, let's take communion and enjoy our time together. So I'm going to ask.
Hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel-centered church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.